Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another News and Focus podcast on March 19, 2013. The time is 4 p.m. I have an article entitled, Church Won't Do Weddings for Straight Couples Until Same-Sex Marriage is Legal. Now, my intent is not to be critical. My intent is not to be judgmental. I just want to talk about this and make some assessments. A local church has elected to stop performing marriage ceremonies for straight couples until same-sex marriage is legalized. Local is Winston-Salem, North Carolina. In a statement posted on the front page of their website, officials at the Green Street United Methodist Church said that they asked other churches to join in the movement to refuse to sign any state marriage licenses until this right is granted to same-sex couples. I took a few minutes to spend some time on the Green Street United Methodist Church website because I wanted to get to know this congregation just a little bit more. I took 20 minutes and listened to a sermon from Pastor Kelly, the pastor of the church. And so let me continue with the article having said that. The statement added, because the United Methodist Church prohibits its pastors from conducting same-sex weddings, excluding gay and lesbian couples from the holy sacrament of marriage, the leadership council has asked the pastor to refrain from conducting wedding ceremonies in our sanctuary for straight couples until the denomination lifts its ban for same-sex couples. Now, I hope you realized, listener, that we've just identified a pretty significant discrepancy between the opening paragraph of the article and what this statement says, because it looks to me like one is towards the state and the other is towards the actual denomination. The article goes on to say, in their full version of their statement, publicly posted on their website, the church asked that services such as premarital counseling be offered to couples of all orientations in addition to other couple-specific services. Now, what do they mean by all orientations? Where will that stop? Is there a stopping point to the word all orientations? Officials with the church specified what should not occur during any ceremony until the ban on same-sex marriage is lifted, clarifying, the service will avoid vows, rings, a public pronouncement of marriage, and language of covenant making. Public officials in the political arena are also taking a stand in support of gay marriage, including former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, who announced her support of the institution on Monday. Clinton made the announcement in an online video released Monday morning by the gay rights advocacy group Human Rights Campaign. She says in the six-minute video that gays and lesbians are full and equal citizens and deserve the rights of citizenship. That's interesting because we're not talking about the rights of citizenship. No one is talking about taking away their rights. That includes marriage, she says, adding that she backs gay marriage both personally and as a matter of policy and law. Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman also voiced his support of same-sex marriage, and that was because I believe his son came out gay. We ask that all our pastors at their discretion also offer to all couples, regardless of orientation, a service of relationship blessing in the sanctuary of the Green Street Church, the statement notes. Now, let's talk about Green Street United Methodist Church. The first thing that we want to notice as we peruse the website is there is a beautiful picture of the congregation and the building behind them. It looks like they occupy a corner. They have a large concrete set of stairs that round the corner. And looks like there's at least 250 people in the picture. A tremendously diverse congregation, which is just outstanding. There seems to be a great variance in age with young and old. There are small children pictured throughout the entire picture. There are people with silver hair, and there are a great mixture of ethnicities. Looks like an incredibly diverse group, and so we're exceptionally thankful for that. We've got people in coat and tie, and then we've got them in tennis shoes, and so it seems to be a congregation that is not judging based on outward appearance. Looks like there are at least two individuals in some kind of clergy outfits with robes and things around their neck. I can't remember the formal name for those things. And the pastoral staff, it looks like, is diverse as well, with an African-American and a Caucasian person. The building is solid brick and occupies a great big corner. Let's take a look at the rest of the website. I want to find something about doctrine, what they believe. No, it's not here. Completely absent. I want to find something about the church history. Let's see if we can find out something about the church history. History, here it is. Green Street United Methodist Church began with a tent revival outside of Old Salem in August of 1902. A month later, a group of converts organized themselves as Salem Methodist Episcopalian Church and built a wood frame church in the West Salem neighborhood. Some 20 years later, a brick sanctuary was built at the present location, and the congregation was renamed Green Street Methodist. All right, let's stop. Okay, let's use this bit of history. So that means the church is well over 100 years old. In 1902, a tent revival sparked the beginning of this church. Now let's talk about that. Why was a revival conducted? Well, the reason a revival was conducted, most likely, we can say this with great confidence, was that there were a group of preachers and an evangelist and Christians who believed if people did not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were going to die and go to hell. And so there was a necessity to do the very best to assemble as many people as possible under a tent and preach to them the doctrines of grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. No doubt the evangelist told the people that there was such a thing as sin, and that sin separated men and women, boys and girls, from a holy and righteous God, and that that sin had to be punished, and that God's justice demanded that that sin be punished, for God was angry at sin and remains angry at sin. And outside of the blessing of grace, the unconverted people in the tent would die and go to hell. And so therefore the preacher, no doubt, would preach in North Carolina, in Salem. We can just about guarantee ourselves that he would preach with fire and brimstone, with passion and concern, that he would preach that Christ is the only way to the Father, that he left the glories of heaven, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, was buried, rose again, and is now on the right hand of the Father, ready to intercede for all who will believe the truth. And that if each man and woman, boy and girl, would repent and believe the gospel, that they too could be converted, their sins could be forgiven, and that God would grant to them eternal life. These people who responded to the message of the gospel were then called, according to the website, converts. They were converts of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was their Lord and King. He was their Savior. And now, as a group of converts, they needed to organize themselves and create an assembly. They needed a place to meet, an ecclesia. And they built themselves a building and no doubt called for themselves a preacher. And for some number of years, they must have been a growing congregation, for 20 years later, they built a brick sanctuary which was built at the present location. And if you take the time to look at the photo, you will find that it is a solid brick building. And it's a good building, no doubt. Now, what is most disappointing, is that as you take the time to look at the rest of the website, and as you do like I did, and you page through page after page, you can't find Jesus. Now, I may be mistaken. Perhaps there is a place. I'm not perfect. I'm not omniscient. But I did spend some time perusing the website. I wanted to know what they believe. I wanted to know how a person got saved. I wanted to understand how they reconcile some things with other things. The congregation communicates on the first page under the About Us tab, where we normally put what's most important for the listener to know or the reader to know, is that Green Street is a reconciling congregation, open and affirming of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and straight people. While the United Methodist denomination continues to wrestle with issues around sexual identity, Green Street seeks to be a witness to the wider church community by living out the motto of open minds, open hearts, and open doors. I wonder to what degree Green Street Church, Green Street United Methodist Church, would communicate the need for a Savior with open minds and open hearts and open doors. I wonder how we would reconcile that with I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. I wonder how we would reconcile that with the narrowness that is communicated in the gospel, that wide is the path that leads to destruction, and narrow or straight is the way, and few find it. What are we to do with this? What are we to make of this? How does this happen? Well, the history of the web goes on to say that in the 1960s, the congregation began a long, steady loss of members. The West Salem neighborhood became racially diverse, and many charter residents moved away from the city. At one point in the late 1990s, Sunday morning attendance dipped to 15 people. A group of people called themselves the Remnant remained and revisioned the church, opening the doors wide to embrace the community around them. Today, Green Street Church is alive and thriving with 300 plus members, approximately 160 people in worship each Sunday. The congregation reflects the makeup of the old West Salem community: white, African American, Hispanic, the affluent, the middle class, the poor, and also includes many from other neighborhoods who seek a diverse congregation. And again, Green Street, I want to commend you on your diversity, your ethnic diversity. That is to be commended. I want to commend you on your socioeconomic diversity. If you truly have the affluent and the middle class and the poor worshiping together, then that is exceptional. But I want to know, Green Street Methodist Church, I want to know how a person gets saved. How do I get delivered from the wrath to come? According to John 3:36, that the wrath of God is abiding on me. So how am I to get delivered from that? The motto of the church is where the kingdom of God is breaking through. Is that why Christ died on a cross? Did God send his only begotten Son so that the kingdom of God could break through? I'm looking for Jesus Christ, Lord, gospel. Where are those things? Where is this? I listened to a 22-minute message, and Christ was not mentioned a single time. There was no indication that man had a need to repent and believe the gospel. Let me go back to the homepage for just a minute here, and let's look at the very front of the website. If we scroll down, there is a picture of the church, beautiful church with kind of a round configuration at the top. There's a picture of the inside of the church. There's a picture of a, looks like perhaps a plant of sorts with a red, green, yellow, green, blue, and purple leaf. It says that Green Street is a reconciling congregation. Please understand what that word reconciling really means. Okay? Because that sounds so attractive, reconciling. Christ has reconciled us, and so that sounds so appealing, but that is actually code language for a desire to ignore parts of the Word of God. Green Street Church strives to deepen the spiritual journey, to be engaged with the poor and suffering, to work for the justice in the world. Come visit us at Green Street, where we celebrate the diversity of human family and where the kingdom of God is breaking through. Do we need to be concerned with poor? Yes. Do we need to be concerned with suffering? Yes. No question. Is justice something that should be important to us? Absolutely. But all these things are not why Christ came to die. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And it's really a shame that churches that were founded by Bible-believing, Christ-exalting converts of the Lord Jesus Christ have now become nothing more than social institutions where many of the very people inside the church may not be converted. You say, how could you say such a harsh and bold thing? I say it because of Matthew 7. Many in that day shall say unto me, Lord, Lord. And then they begin to articulate what they did for the kingdom, what they did for the kingdom. They fed the poor. They fought for social justice. They boycotted for same-sex marriage. And he will say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. You say, Pastor Sean, are you suggesting that you know the eternal state of these members of this church? No, I don't. But at the same time, I cannot imagine building a website that represents a church and you cannot find the name of the person who died for the church. Remember, Jesus Christ said that it was his church and that he would build it and that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. So how do we have a Christian church without Christ? Isn't that a reasonable question? Thanks for listening. Have a great day.